Thomas Jefferson once said, "The man who watches nothing at all is a better educated investor than the man who watches nothing but mad money." Mad Money Machine. Show 125. Friday, August 29th. Hello, everybody. Paul Douglas Boyer here. Thank you for downloading the Mad Money Machine. I'm going to talk about Cramer, who thinks the stock market is rigged. I'll talk about my American history tour and trip to Philadelphia. And I'll answer your emails about do-it-yourself portfolios. The Mad Money Machine is very proud to be sponsored by Index Funds Advisors. Check them out on the web at ifa.com. Then sign up for an account with them. Let them help you manage your financial freedom. Well, maybe Thomas Jefferson didn't say those exact words, but he did say something similar, I think, way back when, about newspapers. And I have been steeped in Thomas Jefferson over the past couple of weeks. I've learned more about Thomas Jefferson in the past week than I have in my entire life up to that point. I've seen his house. I've seen where he wrote the Declaration of Independence. I've seen where he signed the Declaration of Independence. And I took a tour of the National Constitution Center, a big museum in Philadelphia, all about the Constitution, fascinating exhibits. And I have the Thomas Jefferson t-shirt. Believe it or not, there's a guy whose name is Yu Yongding. He is a former advisor to China's central bank. And according to Bloomberg, on August 22nd, here's what Yu Yongding said. He said, "If the U.S. government allows Fannie and Freddie to fail and international investors are not compensated adequately, the consequences will be catastrophic," Yu said in emailed answers to questions yesterday. "If it is not the end of the world, it is the end of the current international financial system." Well, Yu Yongding went on to say that the seriousness of such failures could be beyond the stretch of people's imagination. He's a professor at the Institute of World Economics and Politics at the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences in Beijing, but he didn't explain why he held that view. Shares in Washington-based Fannie Mae have fallen 88% this year, while Freddie Mac of McLean, Virginia has slumped 91% this year. Now, they both had rebounds recently, but the two companies combined account for more than half of the $12 trillion U.S. mortgage market. Story by Kevin Hamlin, Bloomberg. Let's pull something out of the Mad Money Machine tool crib. Well, I continue to play with my new iPhone, and they're constantly adding applications to it. Every week, the iPhone gets more valuable because of all the new applications that are developed for it. The one that I like this week is called Stanza. And you know what this replaces? This replaces the Kindle. Oh my goodness. It's an e-book reader, and it allows you to connect into a free website of public domain books. For example, you can get the Declaration of Independence downloaded into Stanza and read it. You can also get the Federalist Papers and understand the behind-the-scenes tour of the making of the U.S. Constitution. Well, you can also get fiction books and science fiction books and political books and all kinds of things. Now, one of the things that Stanza promises to do is have a desktop application available that will allow you to convert any PDF file to be able to be read on your iPhone and then synchronize it with your iPhone. Now, at that point, the Stanza application, I think they're going to start charging money for it. But at this point, it's still in beta. And like most of the other tools I've given you so far, it's free.
free. You can keep it for the birds and bees. Knock him out of
So the Federal Reserve Bank of New York sent me an email a couple days ago. It says they're committed to monitoring the quality and uses of our products as part of an ongoing improvement process. Well, I told you a few shows back that I bought some comic book style booklets of theirs that explained the workings of the Federal Reserve. And they say they would appreciate feedback on these instructional materials as the information will be valuable input to their future plans. Click on the survey. And then they say, as a token of our appreciation, users who respond by Monday, November 29th will receive a bag of shredded currency and be eligible for a drawing for one of three Federal Reserve Bank of New York gym bags. Well, I already got a bag of shredded currency when I went to the Philadelphia Federal Reserve Bank and took a tour of Money in Motion. And so I don't need a new one. But let me play some audio as I was walking out of the tour I took of Money in Motion at the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. Well, I'm just now leaving the exhibit at the Philadelphia Federal Reserve Bank, and it opened at 9:30 this morning. Went through the very highly secured gate to get into the exhibit in their lobby area. I went through each of the exhibits in numerical order. There were about 19 exhibits in the hall. They're all self-guided. There weren't any tour guides or anything. And the purpose was to explain the Federal Reserve System and money, and also credit and handling checks and so forth. I stayed 2 hours in the exhibit, and I was the only person that ever witnessed the exhibit in the 2 hours that I was there. At the end, one of the ladies monitoring the exhibit nearby gave me a small bag of shredded money. And there are also a number of pamphlets and things that describe the Federal Reserve System. Now, ironically, the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia is right across the street from the National Constitution Center, which we visited yesterday. And if you'll recall, one of the lines in the Constitution was, Congress shall emit no bills of credit. And I've read where some people are of the opinion that the words bills of credit can be interpreted today to mean fiat money, fiat currency. But in the exhibit, they made clear that Federal Reserve, at least, believes that bills of credit means it's something that the states used to issue for specific purposes, to make loans for projects. Maybe they wanted to build a bridge, or maybe they needed to have some other public works project. They would take out loans from the people using these bills of credit. And in their exhibit, they say that these bills of credit circulated like the money does today. One other notable thing about the exhibit was it did not have a very heavy emphasis on precious metals. There were some references to these silver certificates, some references to Golden Eagle coins, and they did have an exhibit of coins. They talked about how in 1963 the silver certificates were discontinued, but there wasn't really an emphasis on the fact that gold and silver were used as money. If you're in Philadelphia taking some tours, I encourage you to spend some time in the Federal Reserve Bank's exhibit there. The exhibit, by the way, is called Money in Motion. I'm not sure what motion the money is in exactly. But the exhibit is free, and it does not appear, the exhibit and the building do not appear on the National Park Service maps of historical sites in the area, and it doesn't appear on some of the other maps provided by the tourist agencies and so forth. So you got to find it on your own. It's just to the left of the National Conventions, the National Constitution Center. Just prior to that visit, I went into the Declaration House, which is a recreation of the brick building that stood there in 1776. Thomas Jefferson rented a room in the second floor in order to write his first draft of the Declaration of Independence. And once again, I was the only person in that exhibit. The end of August, last week of August, first week of September is a great time to go on tours like this. A lot of the kids are already back to school. Families are back to work. And the weather could not be better. Clear skies today. Must be in the high 70s, low 80s. The Learning Earning segment is sponsored by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. It's time that we learn how to earn our financial freedom. Material from this segment comes from IFA.com's website or the book, Index Funds, the 12-Step Program for Active Investors by Mark Hebner. We've been taking a look all month of August at riskies, the language of risk. One thing we should know is that stock pickers dilute the two most important risk factors. Do you remember the two most important risk factors? Well, it's size, or small particularly, and book to market, or value stocks. So small cap and value stocks. See, the primary role in the life of active money managers is to pick the winning stocks. But they usually avoid picking high book to market stocks or value stocks. And they also avoid picking small company stocks. Why is this? Well, it's because investing in value stocks and small company stocks is about investing in companies with some degree of financial distress. And that's often evidenced by poor earnings. So when a manager goes through the lists of eligible stocks, he often throws out value and small company stocks because they're so undesirable. Even when a money manager specializes in picking value stocks, he typically leans towards picking the largest of them, the most growth-like stocks. Now, similarly, if he picks small company stocks, he tends to pick the largest small company stocks with the highest earnings. The problem with this approach is that it dilutes the size and value risk factors identified by Fama and French. An active manager investing in a portfolio of value and small company stocks with favorable prospects holds a portfolio biased towards growth in large company stocks. But it's not growth in large company stocks that have the highest expected returns. It's value in small company stocks. These are companies that have the highest costs of capital. That's why active managers consistently avoid exposure to these risk factors that generate higher returns. They attempt to achieve higher returns through speculation and the avoidance of the risk factors that explain returns. Listen up, though. Structured investing with index funds is just the opposite. It's about an investor's willingness to take risk in order to earn commensurate return. Now, there's a figure that I'll have in the show notes of this show, and it shows the relation of return to risk, in this case, plotting the portfolios from Index Funds Advisors, their 20 index portfolios. And you can see that there's a correlation of higher returns with higher risk. And you can also note that large growth stocks, similar to those on the NASDAQ, have lots of risk but very low returns. An active manager who picks value and small company stocks often must explain to his clients the reasons he bought doggy value and small company stocks with bad earnings. Usually the explanation falls on deaf ears. In order to retain the client's business, the money manager, more often than not, must invest in large company and growth stocks. Stocks with good earnings, but lower expected returns. That's this week's Learning Earnings segment, sponsored by Index Funds Advisors. I mentioned how the iPhone can kind of replace the Kindle now as an ebook reader. Well, the iPhone came in handy on my trip to Philadelphia for three reasons. Three reasons the iPhone came in super handy on our trip to Philadelphia. Number one, driving up Interstate 95, a couple hours away from our home in Delaware, I believe it was, we came up to a point on the highway where there was some slowing traffic. The traffic was slowing down quite considerably. Well, I got on the iPhone, and I loaded up the Maps application on there, and I clicked the button that says, show me exactly where I am right now. It plotted it perfectly, and then it showed me on the map a red stretch of road ahead of me on the Interstate 95 up to a point. And using this application, I was able to make an exit from the interstate, travel some alternate routes, and get back on the interstate right after that red mark. And wouldn't you know, I believe that probably saved me an hour of sitting still on Interstate 95 last Sunday. Second thing the iPhone came in handy for, I took my camera with me. And I'm very proud of myself that I remembered the memory card. Sometimes I've taken the camera with me, and for one reason or other, I've left the memory card in the computer because I was getting photos off of it, you know. And so here I am with the camera and no memory card to put the photos on. Well, I had the memory card, but the battery pack was still in the charger. So now, lucky for me, I had the iPhone, and the iPhone takes pretty good pictures. I've been used to using the Trio phone, which takes horrible, horrible pictures. But the iPhone, it gets it right. Now, it's a little bit slower than what I'd like. But if you're patient and are not taking pictures of a sports scene, then the iPhone will work. And it worked taking pictures of historical monuments and things. The third thing the iPhone came in handy for was I also took my portable recorder with me. And that's what I actually used when I came out of the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia to record a little snippet about that tour. But the day before that, when I had my portable recorder with me, it too, the batteries in it were dead. So the iPhone actually has several applications that allow you to do voice recording too. Now, the quality there, again, isn't as great as what you might hope, but it gets the job done. And so as a camera, as a GPS traffic locating device, as a voice recorder, and as an ebook reader, this is about as close as you can get to an all-in-one device. I'm loving it. Well, Jim Cramer says the stock market is rigged by T-bills, basically. Have you seen that video? I'm going to play a little clip from it. It originally runs about 4 minutes long. I'm just going to play a couple excerpts from it. Tyler Matheson from CNBC interviews him, particularly focused on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac stock. Here we go.
Good to be with you. You know, yeah. There have been lots of proposals about ways that Fannie and Freddie could maybe get worked out here. Right. One of them, Greenspan says, nationalize the companies, then sort of rehatch them into the public market one way or another. But one thing that you have been talking about, at least today, I haven't heard anyone else say, and it's very novel, and that would be to...
Stop trading these two stocks. This is an outrage. Hundreds, 200 million shares of each were trading today. It's very clear that someone knows what's happening. Now, one of the things that we're supposed to have, you know, we have this organization called the SEC. It was really fabulous. And I have to be facetious because it's just too unbelievable. The New York Stock Exchange, another organization, the companies themselves, they used to stop trading when it was clear that there were some people who knew what was going on and others don't. I don't know what I would do if I were an individual and I own one of these stocks. I would just say, you know what? I'm not going to invest in stocks anymore. There is so much confusion. There's so much money changing hands. It's just so unfair to the little guy. I can't believe it, Tyler. Can't believe it.
Can this end well?
No, it can't end well, but it won't end well. What I'm talking about is for the individual shareholder who basically just says, oh, I see, big joke. Okay, I wasn't in on it. It was the punchline I didn't get. Well, that's too bad. You know what? I know why the market's rigged. I'm not going ever back to it. And that's what's going to happen.
Once again, the cynical, they would get cynical as a result of that.
They have to. Yeah. I don't blame them. I go into munis. Government obligations to GEOs. I would not worry about AAA. It doesn't work.
Jim Cramer, thank you very much. Always provocative.
Thank you.
So Jim Cramer says the market for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac stock is rigged, that people knew things that we didn't know. They should stop trading the stock on the markets. And the problem with what Jim Cramer is saying, I think, is that you really can extrapolate that to most publicly traded stocks. There are things that people know that we don't know, even though the SEC has rules against that. This is the risk that's built into one specific stock that you might purchase. But if you spread your risk across a big, big basket of stocks through an index fund in particular, then the risk of a particular stock, one particular stock, is thereby reduced greatly. When you invest in a basket of broad-based index funds, you're investing in capitalism. You're investing in earnings growth across the globe. Jim Cramer, of course, can't throw away his stock-picking prowess and focus on index funds. There's not much of a career in that. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Machine Show 125 is Gary North. Gary North is the author of Mises on Money, and he appears as a commentator frequently on the LouRockwell.com website. He has his own website at GaryNorth.com. He comments on politics, on statism, and on the economy. In fact, he's written a 20-volume series called An Economic Commentary on the Bible. Well, he recently published an article at LouRockwell.com entitled, Why Have Gold and Silver Fallen? He says that on August 11th, the price of gold collapsed down over $35. So did silver, platinum, and palladium. A lot of people are asking why. Well, he says that way back in March, he posted an article that predicted that gold would enter a bear market. He talks about an offsetting factor being fear with a war with Iran. He said he was convinced that the recession caused by the Federal Reserve's relatively tight money policy would lead to a fall in the price of all commodities, especially the precious metals. He believed that the commodity market was the last of the bubble markets. He still worries about war with Iran and what that would do to the price of commodities. But he says from now on and for months ahead, the pressure will be downward. Why? Because the recession is real. And if the rest of the world moves into recession, as he thinks is likely, the demand for commodities will fall. He goes on to say that gold and silver have been sold as hedges against price inflation, and that sellers have told customers that the Federal Reserve is dramatically increasing the money supply, which would cause inflation. But for almost 2 years, he has said that the Federal Reserve is not dramatically increasing the money supply. It is barely increasing the money supply at all. He doesn't talk about the credit crunch and how the money supply is actually shrinking due to the tightening credit markets. Don't know if he would agree with that or not. He says, I think we are entering a recession that will be known as the worst post-war recession since 1981 if China's central bank slows down its 20% per annum increase in M1, the indicator of money supply, as I expect that it will after the Olympics. Then we can expect this recession to be international. If that's the case, then this recession could last longer and be actually worse than the 80 to 81 recession. It may not be worse in the United States, but it will be worse worldwide. He thinks we're only in the preliminary stages of a housing recession, and thinks that this recession could last conceivably for 2 years. Well, I'll have a link to the archive of Gary North's articles at lewrockwell.com. There's a more recent one called How the Smart Money Lost $1 Trillion So Far. And then the most recent one is entitled Media Blackout, The Armada in the Gulf. And he goes on to list the ships that are either in the Gulf, the Persian Gulf, or are headed that way, along with third-party ships from French and British, indicating possibly a joint military venture. Well, congratulations, Gary North. You're the guru on Mad Men Machine Show number 125. Let me take a call from the Mad Money Machine voicemail line at 206-734-4763. Let's listen.
Hey, Paul, it's Glenn here. I'm just in line to cross the border from Canada to Buffalo. I was wondering if you could do me a favor. For a couple days, can you listen to a podcast called TheStreet.com's Real Story with Frank Curzio? Can you just listen to that and tell me if that doesn't drive you nuts as much as it drives me nuts? I listen to your podcast every episode. And the doublespeak that this guy talks, where he'll say something along the lines of, you know, you could do this, but I could be wrong. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe the market's going to go up. Maybe it's going to go down. And he's Jim Cramer's buddy, but I just like to hear what you think of him. And I love your show. Talk to you later.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for that call. But you know what? I do not want to listen to that show. I've listened to enough of those shows. And like Thomas Jefferson said, the man who watches nothing at all is a better educated investor than the man who watches nothing but these investing shows. Yeah, at least Cramer sticks with one of his positions very solidly within a single episode of a show. He doesn't waffle back and forth on whether to buy or sell something, but he might waffle back and forth by the time the next show comes on TV, but not within the same show. Now, I really, you know, these expert guys, I'd like to know what's behind the personality of these people. Are they either A, deluded, or B, conniving, or C, just completely ignorant? We all know by now that nobody can predict the future, and certainly nobody can predict the direction of a stock. Why do people continue to listen to this? Aren't we all awakened to the fact that no one can predict the price of a stock into the future? I guess not. Now, there are some talking heads on TV that say, I don't know where things are headed. And good for them, but you don't see them very often. Because usually CNBC wants somebody that knows what's going to happen in the future. Thanks for the call. I've got a number of emails in the past couple of weeks from people asking about do-it-yourself portfolios. For example, Ben says, Paul, love the show. I'm a do-it-yourselfer, and I want to know if you have a do-it-yourself recommended portfolio. Also, I typically use Vanguard funds for my retirement, and wondering if you have a strictly Vanguard recommended do-it-yourself portfolio. And then he says, one bit of advice, you need a search engine on your site so that I could have typed in do-it-yourself. That way I wouldn't have had to bother you. Well, I appreciate you bothering me. I'm thanks for sending me the email asking me that question. Let me answer the second part first. You know, in Google, you can search through any specific site on the internet, and that site alone, if you just enter in the search box the word site, then a colon, and then the domain name. So, for example, to search Mad Money Machine, you would type site, colon, madmoneymachine.com, space, and then the search terms that you're looking for. So you could search for, quote, do-it-yourself, unquote, and find all the hits related to that in Mad Money Machine. Well, let me read a couple more emails about this, though, before I answer the question. Got an email from Tom, who says, Hi, Paul, I'm a frequent listener, and you are slowly pulling me away from the world of active investing. I don't think I have a large enough money in my non-retirement portfolio to qualify as a customer for IFA just yet. I'm 31 years old and have been focusing on my Roth 401k instead. For my non-retirement portfolio, I'd like to start choosing low-cost index funds and diversify. You mentioned this on the show frequently. Let's assume the risk capacity survey puts me to IFA portfolio 90. Because the IFA funds, that's DFA funds, aren't available for me to purchase through Fidelity, what's the best way for me to identify index funds I can buy to achieve performance similar to IFA 90? And particularly, he says that in Portfolio 90, they have 4% allocated to a emerging markets small cap index. And he says he finds a ETF that is the iShares Emerging Markets Index, ticker symbol EEM. Then he asks, would I take 4% of my portfolio and purchase EEM, for example? Am I headed down a bad path? In looking at IFA 90, I'd have to buy 11 funds. I pay $8 a trade today. Any advice is appreciated, and perhaps other viewers would benefit from hearing your answer to this question. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Tom. And one more email, also from a Thomas, TJ. And listen to this, folks. He says, I'm a big fan of the show and a big proponent of saving. I'm an Army officer and just returned from a tour in Iraq in July. Many of my soldiers were diligent in saving up to their saving up their 15 months of pay and want to do something for their futures. Naturally, I've pointed them toward indexing and advised them all to listen to your show if they had any doubts about the simplicity of making money by indexing smartly. More than one of them has been steered away from the shiny new BMW and toward index funds by my promises that investing their $30,000 lump sum at age 18 will assure them many BMWs in the future. My question is this. More than one of them has asked me how to get the portfolios of IFA without having $100,000. Now, I know you mentioned this on a previous show, but I'll be deviled if I can find it. Could you maybe point me in the right direction? I myself have taken the risk capacity survey and came out at about a 75. His fiancée has lots of med school debt, so we'll be playing it a bit safe for our ages. You talked about a guide to matching the IFA portfolios using iShares and some other ETFs index funds. If you have the time, I and my soldiers would be pleased if you could steer us toward matching these portfolios. Consider a new generation of young cash flush servicemen converted. I think you'll be proud to see the maturity and dedication to saving these young men and women have. Thanks for a great show, and please keep it up. It's one of the most intelligent half hours a man can find in the wide world of podcasts. Respectively yours, TJ, Captain of the U.S. Army at Fort Drum, New York. Thank you guys all for asking that question. And I can see, you know what, I can see what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to make a web page dedicated to this topic, do-it-yourself portfolios, and have it prominently visible at the top of the MadMoneyMachine.com homepage so that anybody that comes along and is asking about the lazy portfolios or the do-it-yourself portfolios can have this answer, this frequently asked question, answered there for them. So let me try to answer it. And the way I'm going to answer it is point you first to the show notes for this show, show 125. I'll have links to three different places. One is the Lazy Portfolios page at MadMoneyMachine.com, which is MadMoneyMachine.com/portfolios. And in there, you can see three of the portfolios I've designed, as well as, 25 or so more professional portfolios put together by various investment advisors. One of mine is called the MMM Smiler Portfolio. And each of the letters of the word Smiler refers, it's an acronym referring to one of the asset classes that you could invest in. For example, S is small cap, M micro cap, then international, large cap, emerging markets, and REITs. And I have in there listed then the Vanguard mutual funds that correspond to each one of these categories. And I show the year-to-date performance of that portfolio. And I also have one in there that's a all exchange-traded fund portfolio, the Mad Money Machine or MMM do-it-yourself portfolio. And there's another one in there that's made up of some Vanguard funds and then also one of the micro-cap mutual funds. Some of those funds, I think, in that portfolio are not open to new investors, though, so you have to be a little careful there. Regarding the question of how to invest specifically in emerging market funds. Yes, the EEM is one way, but that is made up mostly of the larger cap and blend stocks in those emerging market countries. Now, instead of EEM, I would look at the Vanguard Fund, which is ticker symbol VWO. It's about the same thing. It has a little bit less expense ratio. But there's also a fund from iShares, I believe it is. No, it's from WisdomTree. DGS, which is the WisdomTree Emerging Markets Small Cap Dividends Fund. Now, this doesn't have a large history to it, so I would be cautious in investing in it. The year-to-date return on it is down 15.31% as of today, but that shouldn't make a difference in your decision whether or not to buy it. The decision whether or not to buy this fund is to try to figure out the expense ratio of it and try to figure out whether you think the fund is actually going to be around for the duration of the time you want to invest. Now, one thing to think about, guys, is you talk about you invest in some 401k plans. When you switch employers, all right, you should be able to roll over your 401k plan into an IRA plan. Okay, now if you have that $100,000 minimum in that IRA, then at that point, I would urge you to contact Index Funds Advisors, contact Mark Hebner directly, and have him set up an IRA, an individual retirement account, for you with that rollover. They'll be able to put it in the funds of Dimensional Funds Advisors, who focus on small cap, they focus on value in their portfolios, and they do the best job of any, I believe. Now, the other two pointers I'll have on the in the show notes and in that webpage whenever I get it done, point to the Acrobat files, the PDF files at IFA's website that compare their portfolios against either iShares exchange traded funds or Vanguard mutual funds. And this will help you locate, identify the funds that most closely resemble the Dimensional Fund Advisors funds that IFA uses. Well, thanks, guys, for the email. I sure hope it helps. Good luck in investing. Stay invested in the long term through these risky times. I want to thank you so very much for joining me here on the Mad Money Machine. My name is Paul Douglas Boyer, saying it takes money to make money, and it takes knowing the market is rigged to make a Mad Money Machine. I'll see you next Friday. In the meantime, visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors, at ifa.com, helping investors succeed by matching people with portfolios. Some music on this program provided by music.podshow.com. I love your emails. Please continue sending them to me, even if you've already sent me an email. Send it to feedback@madmoneymachine.com, or even better, call the voicemail line, 206-734-4763. Sign up for my alerts at twitter.com/madmoneymachine and visit the madmoneymachine.com website. Stay invested for the long term, everybody, in these risky times.